This episode of the WDub Review is sponsored by buyandselldvc.com.
Hello, welcome to the WDub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by some good friends to talk about, I'm just going to say it out loud, talk about a very boring trip. I'm going to be completely bored by listening to this trip report. Chris Young and Young, welcome back.
Thanks.
Yeah, exactly. like Chris and Ann ever go on a boring vacation. This is like the coolest trip report we've had a long time. The Youngs never do anything little. This is always something special. So we're here to talk about an amazing trip report. But before we get into this awesome European vacation, let's talk about changes in our life and kind of lead into the show, if you don't mind. So in a few short days, I'll be dropping off my daughter for her freshman year at college. First experience we've ever had with having a child go away to school. We think we're prepared for it. We know she's prepared for it. I think we're prepared for it, but maybe not. And then, you know, one of the cool things about our circle of friends is that there's a person in every spot in life, almost every spot in life. And I look at you guys, Chris and Anne, and just today you made a really sweet post about your daughter, Bridget, leaving for college for her final year. And Chris, you are a gifted writer. Some of the posts you had, I was like, I was not prepared to read that post. That post just hit me right. In the heart. But let's talk about children going the way to school and the emotions that come from that, which leads into our trip today. So let me hand you the floor. What's going on in your life, guys?
Well, Bridget is our youngest daughter. She was a 2020 high school graduate, and she is headed into her senior year in college this year. And she is out in Baltimore, just north of Baltimore, at Goucher College. And so it's been a little bit of an emotional weekend and last week being with her. She came back because part of this trip report references her being in Europe this past semester. So we just had a little bit of time at home with our youngest daughter before the turnaround and sending her back out. And the funny thing, Chris, is that, you know, we've done this with our oldest daughter, Caroline, just 4 years ago. In fact, my Facebook memory today was about sending our oldest daughter off to her senior year this day 4 years ago. And we did this with Bridget 5 years ago when we sent her off for her junior year in high school to Denmark for a year. So you would think that we might have a grip on how to do this and kind of keep ourselves held together. But Anne, what do you think?
No. Tears every single time.
Well, you know, so I watched this and I thought to myself, you know, you must be used to this after a while. And, you know, you read an eloquent post, you see some pictures, you see some smiles, you see some tears, and you're like, I'm not prepared for this.
Here's the thing. This is what I found is that today I'm sad.
Okay.
Today I miss her. Tomorrow, next week. But very, very soon, there's some relief that comes over because now we're empty nest. It's just the two of us. I don't have to think about somebody else on a daily basis. And we kind of just go back to being just the two of us, which is very nice. I learned when she was gone for the year in Denmark that, that this will be a good time. We will be okay without the kids in the house. So short time of sad, but then just some relief and relaxation a little bit more.
And the relief is there partly because we know these kids are, they're good kids. They're going to find their way. I'm not worried on a daily basis of, my gosh, what kind of decisions is she going to make tomorrow?
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
So there's that, but you're right that, like, right now I just said, Anne, what do you think? But for the last 25 years, most of the time when I've referenced Anne, I say mom. Mm-hmm. Even when the girls aren't around, I'm so used to saying mom that I'll call her mom. But you know, we have this other relationship too that just kind of gets set on the side burner for 25 years.
25 years, yeah. I'm glad to hear about that, Anne, because yeah, you know what? There's always going to be a mom and a dad, but there's always going to be a Chris and Anne, and Chris and Anne occurred first. And it's kind of fun to see you guys rediscover yourself at this point in your life. And I'm excited for you guys to do that. So let's dive in and kind of combine this to our trip. So I want to give you guys the floor. I got a lot of questions. And, you know, one of the coolest things that you did was, hey, I'm going to go on a crazy, exciting vacation. If you want to follow along, join my Facebook group, because honestly, it's people that are invested in the situation. If you've not joined Chris and Anne's like vacation Facebook group, you're missing out. It's about the coolest thing ever. From last year's impromptu drive to Florida, you know, to this Scandinavian adventure. I mean, there is just fabulous adventures. So why'd you take this trip? First off, where'd you go? How'd you get there? Why'd you go? I got a million things for you.
So let me start with the why, because that'll make a little bit more sense about the where.
Yeah.
And so Chris mentioned that Bridget spent her spring semester in Europe. She did college, a study abroad, her spring semester study abroad. And so, because Bridget doesn't do anything normal, again, she's not going to, she goes to the Czech Republic.
Okay.
It had a course, the courses that she needed, and it was in English, but it was in a place she'd never been before. So
the name of the university, Masaryk University. Very familiar name, right?
In Brno, right? Is that how you say it? How do you say it? Brno, yeah, okay.
And so she left in February to go there. And we knew, we've been promising her for 5 years that we would go back to Denmark to meet her families, to see where she lived for that year.
Okay.
And so we've already spent one airfare to get her over to study abroad for college. Mm-hmm. Let's piggyback on that airfare. And so when she's done with her college semester in June, we will go over and meet her. So it was really about saving money.
Yeah. Yeah. As opposed to having her come back and then make good on the promise, right? And she's there.
Right. This is kind of Disney math though, Chris. We didn't save any money.
Okay. But in theory, it works, right? In theory, there's just a little train trip for her and you're going over there. Okay. Very good.
So she finished her semester, and then she had about 2 weeks where she went back to Aarhus, Denmark. It's the second largest city in Denmark, and that's where she spent her year of Rotary Youth Exchange. And she was able to hang out with her host families. She had three of them.
Okay.
And so she spent time with all three of them without us, kind of got caught up. And then she came and met us in Copenhagen. And that's where we flew into to meet her to start our family vacation of four. Caroline came along with us.
What a fabulous way for her to end her year, though, in the Czech Republic. She gets to catch up on memories of all these families that hosted her. And like, it was like exclusive Bridget family time over there. What a great way. Like, that was, do the Youngs ever do anything just low key and like, just like easy peasy, or it's got to always be something fantastic?
That's, we don't have that. That's not our intention, Chris, but, so, but you know, I like to plan vacations. This was a tough one. You know, I like to plan vacations. So like make the most of what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Make the most of what you're doing.
Of course. Okay. So how did you guys get there? Was it direct? You guys went to Kansas City or give that? Cause like that's a giant long trip. I mean, I know how long it takes to get across the seas.
It was a long trip. So we flew from Kansas City, flew out. I don't even remember when we flew out, midday, maybe early morning. I don't know. Early morning. It's all run together with me now, Chris. Early morning out of Kansas City to Atlanta.
Okay.
A little layover, then to New York City. JFK, then a little layover, a larger layover. And then in the evening, we flew out of JFK to Copenhagen.
I was aware of the trip legs and the people that you were sitting next to as well, Chris, because I follow along with the group. So you had some interesting travel partners or people next to you.
I had a lady that was not happy to be. We were, this was the long leg of the trip. And okay. So I sit down and there's a lady that's got her arms folded and a stern look on her face. And she's looking straight forward. She doesn't acknowledge that I'm there.
Uh-oh.
And eventually a flight attendant came by and this lady says, "Excuse me, I am not supposed to be sitting here. I have flown on Delta all of my life and I do not sit in the middle. I have an aisle seat always." And they kind of talked around it, but she was being more than just stubborn. She was being obstinate. And finally they said, "Ma'am, you were in one of the economy or the coach or whatever it's called seats, and you had bid up and asked if you could get into this Comfort Plus area. Yes, your economy seat was on an aisle, but the Comfort Plus seat that..." She says, "Well, this isn't the seat that I had requested." And they said, "No, you requested one back in coach.
Yeah.
So you asked for one of these seats and this is the one that you got." Well, she wasn't happy about it. And that was around the time that I kind of took a picture and said, "Well, here's Karen next to me." I don't know her name for sure, but I think it's Karen. And they came back later and they said, "We found an aisle seat for you." And, they said, it's way in the back. It's right by the restroom in the back.
Oh, yes.
But we did find an aisle seat for you." And she said, "No, never mind. I won't take it." And I couldn't believe it. I turned to her and I said, "Are you sure?" Because please go ahead and take it at this point. But it was a quiet trip. I didn't have any interruptions from her.
Yeah, so much for light banter with your... Right. Flying roommate next to you there. No, that exactly. Didn't exist. So okay.
My family was not happy that I had taken that picture. My daughter was like, in Europe, they could, you could be sued for sharing her picture on social media without her permission. I was like,
Well, hang on. I only saw that as just a selfie from you showing your excitement on the trip. I didn't actually notice anyone behind you, Chris. So I support you in your picture taking. Yeah, that's okay. Let your bad influences help out here.
There we go.
Okay. So we're long leg JFK into Copenhagen. What time are you landing there? Was it early? Was it late? Because sometimes those time changes get really screwy. You land there like...
Yeah. It was the next day right before noon.
Right. Yeah. We left JFK supposedly at 9:45 and arrived Copenhagen 11:40 supposedly.
What's the weather like right about now in this time of the year? What was the weather? Beautiful, cold, hot? What are we talking?
Well, there's normal weather and then there's what people are having now everywhere, which is typically not normal. So we flew in. It had been extremely hot for them, which is in the 80s.
Okay.
Probably. Yeah.
But when we landed, it was very rainy and cool.
Okay.
In the 60s.
Wishing you had a jacket. Kind of thing.
I had a sweatshirt and I was cold.
Did you guys pack appropriately? Did you plan for that weather?
I did not.
Okay.
I had a sweatshirt, but I only had one.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. We were not quite appropriately packed, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been. It wasn't like the folks that show up in Orlando in January and they bring nothing but shorts, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, no problem there. And your accommodations, are you guys hoteling it? Are you VRBOing it? Where's your accommodations?
We were almost sleeping on the sidewalks because I didn't get hotels booked until very late. But yeah, we stayed in hotels for like the first half of our trip. We were in chain called Scandic, Scandic. They've got really nice hotels. We felt very taken care of kind of throughout that first half of our trip and the various places that we stayed in these Scandic hotels. And they were, I would say, priced like moderate hotels at Walt Disney World in that kind of a price range. And then we had host families from Bridget's stay back in high school that were very gracious and welcomed us into their homes. And then one of them actually had a beach house, two beach houses, I think, but had a beach house that they offered us to stay in at near the end of our trip. So we had a little combination of homes and hotels.
Wow. For a real authentic, like taste of Scandinavia. Okay. So outstanding. I almost want to go day by day because I don't want to miss any detail, but I want to know all about the public transportation. I want to know about the architecture. I want to know about the safety. I want to know about the sights you saw, the food. I want to know about everything. This is like a dream. I don't want the word bucket list is so overused, but this truly is a bucket list type trip.
But I got to tell you, I've listened to Scott's trip here on a podcast recently, and there was a lot of those things that I heard, and I was like, oh, we experienced something like that too.
Outstanding. All right, so let's go and let's just talk about like your first experiences there. The food, was it something you were prepared for? Were you open and up for you know, how would I say this, for a cultural experience, or were you looking for the Americanized version of dining when you were there? What was that about?
No, we want to experience where we're at. Okay. So we don't want to go to any fast food chains, or we want to stay away from that. Okay. We kind of knew a little bit what to expect because Bridget, when she came home from her year, was very homesick for food, for Danish food. had a terrible time, still does, finding the right kind of bread here in the States. She just was so in love with it. So we were ready to experience what she was so excited about. So it's not food that is wild or crazy.
Okay.
It's light. I didn't expect this. We, especially the last half of the trip where we were with her families, they fed us.
Oh my God.
Fed us like so much food. We'd finish a meal and then we'd go someplace with a different family and they were feeding us more food.
We literally had one meal where they fed us the entire meal. And then they said, and now we want you to have Danish hot dogs. So we had a second meal that backed up to this.
However, okay. I lost weight.
Oh, no way. How did this happen now?
Well, it's mainly all fresh. Okay. It's mainly all, there's very little processed about it. Fruits and vegetables. And portion size, I think, but still, we could have eaten twice as much as we did if we wanted to, because it was put in front of us.
I am not joking that for breakfast, at one of the families had probably 16-inch deep bowls of sausage and eggs, and there were maybe five or six of us eating, and there was still, and I'd say, tomorrow, please, not nearly that much. We don't need that much. And they'd bring it out again.
How they show you they loved you, right? That was just how they show you.
That's the way they were going to be, gracious.
Did your experience at restaurants meet that as well, too? Was restaurant serving sizes smaller in size than the United States?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And price wise, what does a meal cost over there? What did that cost at a restaurant?
It's not cheap, is it? It was, again, just this is a Disney podcast. Let's compare to Disney. Yeah. This is like a table service kind of meal at a Disney restaurant.
It's
more than a typical table service.
Yes.
So
that lunch we had in Copenhagen on the street where we just had some fish and chips and a couple drinks.
And that was
$175.
For four of us?
I think there was only three fish and chips because the girls shared. They weren't that hungry.
Oh,
okay.
$175?
And there was five drinks though.
Okay.
If you could only see Chris's face right now, realizing he just spent $175 for
three. We won't talk about what we spent at Tivoli.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I want to get to that because I definitely want to talk about Tivoli. But I guess the one tip I would give people was if you've committed to making this vacation happen, your vacation, or if you're going to London or if you're going to Paris, you know, you just have to realize if you've committed to make that trip happen, then you don't have to eat at 5-star. But you shouldn't eat at 1-star. And you know what? There's plenty of time afterwards for you to go and make that money back. But don't lessen that trip's experience by saying, you know what? We really need to eat at Subway today or McDonald's.
You know, it'd be like buying the car, but not the tires, right?
Right.
Like just saying, well, we just can't afford tires. We got the new car, but let's just, yeah, that's the way I see it.
Exactly.
We also found, though, that we didn't eat every meal at that price.
Mm-hmm.
Our breakfasts were at the hotels, so that came with the stay. That helped. Mm-hmm. But some days we only ate two meals, maybe the breakfast and then mid to late day, a fairly large meal. So we tried to balance some of those really expensive meals with street food. In all three cities that we spent time in, we visited their street food area.
Okay. So it was like a plaza they'd have.
Okay. It'd be some indoor seating and some outdoor seating, usually just like on a picnic table. But then if you would think like food trucks, only permanent buildings, the size of a food truck. They weren't very large buildings, but maybe anywhere from 8 to 25 of these restaurants.
Like Epcot's food festival buildings.
Okay.
So you just go to this street food place and everybody can order whatever they want. And it's smaller portions and it's a little bit less expensive. It's more local, I think.
It sounds like heaven, people. Are you kidding me? It's the most authentic food court of all time. Are you kidding me?
Well, and a lot of international food as well. So it's not necessarily all.
We didn't have Scandinavian food there.
Okay.
But it was the Scandinavian version of Korean.
But we knew that we were going to have authentic Scandinavian food when we were visiting with the host families that were going to welcome us in the coming days.
Okay. What did we see and do in Copenhagen? What was the big attraction and the sights?
Okay. Let me start off and just add something to the mix. Okay. About 3 weeks before we left, I said, oh my gosh, we said we were going to talk to some of our foreign exchange students who had spent time with us in the United States because we had some like in Europe or in the area. And so we reached out to four of them and two of them ended up meeting up with us while we were there. So Copenhagen included our foreign exchange daughter, Paula, from Brazil. And so we got to spend, I think, like probably a total of 2 days with her. And so that was a highlight for me. I said that maybe my opinion is different than others, but if I would have the opportunity to either go to Europe with the family or stay here in Sedalia meet our exchange kids, bring them home for a few days, and then send them on the road, I would have had a hard time picking Europe over visiting with the kids.
Yeah.
And so, so that was awesome. So that was one highlight for us, was just getting to visit with Paula. Now, we saw her 7 years ago, something like that. She came to Disney with us back 2016. But then, let's see, while we were in Copenhagen, we did go to Tivoli okay. Gardens.
So you have to explain. You have to explain what that is for anyone who doesn't know what Tivoli is.
Kind of right in the center of Copenhagen, and literally kind of across this plaza from our hotel is an amusement park, Tivoli okay. Gardens. Tivoli Gardens is the, what'd we say, third oldest amusement park in the world. The second oldest amusement park in the world is also in Denmark. And I can't tell you where the oldest is.
Just north of Copenhagen.
The oldest? Oh, no. The second. Yeah. Oldest. Okay. Anyway, it's like a, it's clearly an inspiration for Epcot. But on a micro scale. So beautiful, beautiful foliage, trees, plants, flowers. There's water. The rides that are there are as you would expect for a 180-year-old amusement park. So, you know, they're quaint kind of rides. There's no rides like we think of with Epcot, dark rides or those kind of things. It's
there is a roller coaster.
There is a roller coaster. They have an evening light show. It's fire and water and lights and laser and music, but it's all really subdued because this is in town. And so there's no fireworks. So there's nothing that probably is more than 30 feet off the ground. People stand around and you can see everyone that's viewing this with you. You can see them and it's not like, oh, they're way over there. Yeah, they're on the other side of the water, but you could almost read, if they had t-shirts that had writing on them, you could almost read the writing. We're all gathered around this. So that's interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just, I really wish we could have spent a full day there instead of just an evening, which is really what we had allocated. And then most of our evening ended up being in a restaurant. So a little bit disappointing that we didn't get to experience that a little more in depth. I'll tell you this, 180 years. And I mentioned to Anne today, I said there was 180th anniversary and they did not have any 180th iridescent merchandise that they were selling at all. I couldn't believe it.
It's outrageous, of course. Yeah. It's a treasure. I know they value it. It's a treasure of the city, of the country. And when I've researched it, it looks like the most beautiful botanical gardens, intermixed with the most beautiful like evening beer garden, mixed with some attractions, mixed with family. And that's just what it is. It's part of the community. It's a park, but it's so much more for the community. So
at night it's especially beautiful. Wow. They have the trees lit beautifully. All of the buildings have some lights on them. Bridget knew enough to say we needed to go there in the evening because of the lights. And
okay.
I'm glad we did.
What else did we see in Copenhagen, Chris? Besides the most amazing theme park, you know, Americans can't get used to something like that.
But what else you mentioned like architecture and so where we were at, there was the city hall just right across the street from us.
Okay.
And so we have all the architecture of a, I don't know whether you'd call it ancient, but an old European city. But you have all of the sculpture as well. And so this big public square had a lot of activity. It also had the metro station there. Right. So it was kind of a calling place for or a central place. But there were statues all over. There's one that was literally right outside of our window. If you looked at the photos, you saw it. It was a bronze statue called the Lure Blowers, and it's these two Danish guys from, you know, 1500s or whatever, and they're blowing this essentially this brass instrument type thing. It's not a trumpet exactly. It's a lure, L-U-R. And literally that was right outside of our window. There's also a Hans Christian Andersen statue in that same square. They're very proud of their association with the fact that Hans Christian Andersen was Danish and spent time in Copenhagen. And there's another one that's a dragon fountain. It's like a bull in combat with a dragon. I got some great pictures of that. And then later I learned, and we didn't even see it, but there's this cool, it's called the Weather Girl. And she's this gilded rotating statue that sits inside kind of a cove in one of the
took a picture of it
buildings. I didn't, or if I did, I didn't even realize it. Okay.
It's in our collection.
And anyway, so it's either you look up and you either see this girl on a bicycle or you see this girl with an umbrella walking her dog. So if it's going to be rain today, you see the girl with the umbrella. And if it's going to be a nice day, then it's a girl on the bicycle. Wow. And so really cool. And that's it's closing in on 100 years old. But just, I don't know how to describe the architecture because I guess I'm not an architect.
We spent a morning, a good portion of the day in, and I'm not going to say it right, but it's the Danish word for new harbor. It's called Nyhavn. Okay. And everybody knows it when they see it because it's the row of buildings along the canal mm-hmm. that are beautiful colors, bright yellows and blues and reds. And that is, it's a very touristy spot, but it's probably the most photographed place in Copenhagen.
Gotcha. When you say touristy, and let me interrupt you for a second here. When we travel stateside, when we see touristy, we're thinking kitschy. We're thinking things like a giant Wizards gift shop in 192 in Florida. We're thinking of things that are tacky. But like touristy in Europe is not quite the same level. It's a different level. It's authentic, but it's visited more often. But like you would go up two blocks back and that's not touristy anymore. That's just living. People just live there. That's just their home at that point.
Right. Right. I mean, touristy, it's where we got on our canal tour boat. Mm-hmm. There was a tchotchkes shop that we walked into that had all of the kitsch. Mm-hmm. But it was one shop.
Okay.
The one entire side of the canal is outdoor restaurants. The main floor of each of those buildings that you see with the brightly colored buildings are all bars and food establishments.
Okay.
So you could go inside or you could sit outside to eat. And so that was just that huge section. And I would say food areas of food mark their tourist areas.
Did the general feel meet your thought of what Copenhagen was going to be like? Did like you had a preconceived idea before you left the house? Did it meet that, or did it exceed that, or were you disappointed?
I think it met it, but what surprised me was while it's a huge city, it was quieter than I thought it would be.
Interesting. Yeah, my next question then is, what about autos? Do they have vehicles everywhere, or is it more of a pedestrian type, health-based, bicycle-based type situation? What was that like?
So, it was definitely a heavily bike-leaning community, very bicycle-friendly. We heard that over 50% of students and employees or workers in Copenhagen rode their bikes to work and school each day. And so lots of bicycles, far more bicycles that I remember seeing in the areas that we were at than automobiles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. For sure.
Okay.
And it was quiet, and it wasn't just about the automobile noise. It was just like, I don't know how to describe it, Chris, but everybody was going about their own business and they were enjoying themselves, but they were doing that in a way that wasn't obtrusive and was kind of like respectfully your business too. You know, whatever your business is, that's fine, but we're gonna like keep ourselves under control.
Chris, I laugh in my mind because I think about the vacations that my family has taken in the locations, and it's nothing like that. It's the exact opposite of that. You know, your business is my business. We're loud. We're obnoxious. Not just me. Most of the places we go to. So this understated, just culture, you know, is so amazing. Okay, so from Copenhagen, and you got to spend 2 days with Paula. Did she go to Tivoli with you guys by any chance? She experienced it. Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's fabulous. Where'd you go to next and how'd you get there?
We headed to Oslo, Norway. Really? Bridget, that was a country that she'd never been to. So it let all of us check off a new country.
Okay.
And we took, this was genius on Chris's part in scheduling this. We took a ferry from Copenhagen directly to Oslo. And it left at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it arrived at 10 in the morning. So we slept a good chunk of the time that we were traveling. It was the easiest trip.
Leave it to the guy that was going to have to drive otherwise to find an alternative.
Yeah. Okay. Pingan, did you, was this a cabin or when you said slept, and I'm Chris is like, okay, we got a bench there. No. Did you have a cabin? Was it a sleeping
not
cabin?
A ferry. Like you can drive your car on it, but we didn't have a car, but it's kind of just like a tiny little bitty cruise ship.
A basic cruise ship?
A little bit. Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's a pool and a sauna on the back of the ship and
there were three bars
and,
of course. Okay.
Huge buffet. And
so what does accommodations cost on something like that, guys? What did that run for the evening? Do you remember? Cause, or was it per person, Chris? How did that price out?
It was per person. And then you paid extra for your, for a vehicle. If you did the vehicle. And I think with accommodations, gosh, I want to say that it may have run us. I think I'm going to be wrong on this, but I want to say it ran us maybe $500 or something like that each way. Okay. And that was probably before the meal. And I think the meals were another, the buffet was another 40 bucks a person, something like that.
Still time and experience that you would never have again. And you know, best of all, it served the general purpose. It served your need really well there.
It also was really scenic for a good portion of it as you're cruising, you know, with the coastline. So we saw views that we wouldn't have seen otherwise.
Outstanding. Okay.
Oh, you know what? I want to go back and tell you that while we were on, when we were in Copenhagen, we did see the Little Mermaid, the Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
And the Little Mermaid is a tiny little mermaid. It should have been called the Tiny Little Mermaid. And it should have been called the Tiny Little Mermaid with 150 tourists in the background, because since we saw it from the canal boat, we also saw the shoreline right behind it and all of the people who were taking photos of it. So our photo was it should have been called the backside of the Tiny Little Mermaid with hundreds of tourists around it.
You ever see the Mona Lisa? It's very similar. You know, you get there and what? I can't fucking see it. Okay. So we're in Oslo. We arrive in the morning at Oslo. What are we doing? Where are we staying and what are we experiencing there?
Well, we arrive and the first excitement that we have is the thought that our youngest daughter might need to fly back to the United States, because guess what? We got off the ferry and we had to go through the
customs
and her visa had expired.
Oh,
it expired on June 30th. And here we were on, you know, Wednesday, the 5th of July. And there was a little panic there, at least from mom and dad who were outside. We'd already gone through the girls were going to take a faster route and leave mom and dad behind. And about an hour after they got into to go through customs, they were finally released. But it wasn't until on this day, customs had to check with this place and that place and the other. And it turns out there's a loophole that the U.S. has some kind of an agreement, some type of a reciprocal agreement, not with the EU, but with some group of 17, some group of 17 European nations that allowed for this. Otherwise, Bridget should have exited Denmark and gone to a non-EU country and then come back to Denmark. Anyway, we ended up getting to stay together as a family, which was a great thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
So that would have really stunk if, you know, the daughter that was kind of the impetus for the whole trip ended up having a, you know.
Yeah, she's in Finland right now trying to get her passport updated.
So anyway, we did get through that. So that was good news. Okay. And we stayed in another Scandic hotel while we were there.
Hang on, let me interrupt you guys for a second. Did they serve continental breakfast? And was, in fact, the continental breakfast at this hotel completely different than any other continental breakfast you ever had stateside? I'm dying to know, because we stayed at a hotel in Paris and they serve continental that is absolutely nothing like you've ever seen in any hotel in America. And in fact, it was like a buffet. It was a buffet of like amazing. Yeah. I'm still buying the tea from, and that was 20 years ago in my life that I'm still buying that tea. Okay. I'm sorry. It was a buffet. It was continental, but it was magnificent.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it wasn't huge, like huge American buffet. Okay. It was small and understated, like European, like Scandinavian buffet. So there was a lot of bread. There was a lot of meats, thinly sliced meats and cheeses to put on the bread, like open face sandwich. Mm-hmm. There were some eggs. They like their eggs runny. Okay. There was usually some kind of meat, bacon or sausage, a few cereals, some yogurt, a lot of fruit. So again, it wasn't much heavy.
How about pastries? Do they have pastries?
A few, but not a lot. That, I think that's the thing, is they do savory much more than they do sweet.
Interesting. Interesting, because you know you're in the land of you're not in Belgium, but you're close. If you squint, you're in the land of chocolate and candy, you know, at this point. So I don't know if they're going to feature that, you know, greatly on that buffet.
They do dark chocolate more than they do lighter chocolate. So again, it's you eat less of it. Okay. And they do licorice, like that's
That sounds lovely.
The true black
licorice,
dark, lovely. Serious licorice.
How about salmiak? Did you guys have salmiak, the salted licorice, over there by any chance?
They have it. Bridget brought it home. We tried it when she brought it home.
Not a fan?
The host families gave us some. And theirs wasn't quite as serious as what she had brought home, and we tried at home.
Anne and Chris, I have this addiction to salted licorice. My daughter grabbed it from me. We buy it from about three different companies, but Katja's is the one we buy. Oh, it is so good. It's so good. But it's an acquired taste. So, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize. I got to be all excited about food. Anyway, so we're now in Oslo, and we've gotten past the morning continental breakfast. So get us up to speed. What are you guys seeing there?
Well, that day, am I on? Yeah. That day we were tired. Anne and I were tired. We were still kind of trying to catch up a little bit. So we went to the Oslo Historical Museum, which is touted, I guess, as Norway's largest collection of prehistoric and Middle Age and Viking era items. And so a lot of cool stuff there. I'm trying to think. We saw like armor and you know, weapons and swords, and that was really neat.
The chainmail armor. The inside of a Norwegian church from the 1300s, 1400s.
Okay. Is this the museum?
They had recreated the inside of the church in the museum. So the wooden walls and the wooden painted wooden ceiling,
Is this the museum where they have the replica, or they actually brought the boat up from the harbor, the one that they created? Am I thinking of this correctly? No, this might not be the museum. Mm-hmm. Okay. It maybe it's in Sweden. I apologize. There was a boat that was christened, and then the boat sank just upon christening, and it sat at the bottom of the harbor for umpteen number of years, and they finally brought it back up. It was supposed to be this unsinkable armored ship that sunk immediately.
Never say never. I guess that's what we learned.
Immediately entering the water. Yeah. So, okay.
And then the Bridgets, the girls, Bridget and Caroline went to the beach and to Oslo's Opera House, which I think was just to see it. And
you climb the roof of the Opera House and get a view of the port.
Okay.
And so then they went to a sculpture park that I won't try to pronounce because I will be wrong in my pronunciation.
Are the churches and cathedrals in Denmark, in Norway, are they as magnificent as they would be in like the central part of Europe? I mean, that's what Paris boasts is, look at this church. This is one of our minor churches. It's only 400 years old and 200 feet at the peak of the ceiling with magnificent marble ornate sculptures, you know, things like that. Is that like that over there as well too? Because religious iconography is a big draw in Europe.
Yeah. It's hard for me to say how it compares to the cathedrals of Paris, for example, because we've never been to Paris, but we were impressed. So maybe we're just easily impressed, but no, it was, very, very, they captured the land, I'm losing my words, but they, you know, they were definitely the center of your attention when you saw them and really gorgeous. And of course you think wow, how many
also primarily Lutheran based.
Okay.
I mean, there are some like big Catholic churches, but many of the ones we saw were Lutheran, and I think they're a little more subdued.
Okay.
So there's still a lot of opulence, but a little less.
And probably more magnificent than we've seen in our little towns and cities that we live in here. That's what I caught too as well. At least, you know, my
experience. It just felt old.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was impressive in that respect. We actually ate dinner across from, or kind of a, I don't know, in the vicinity of the cathedral in Oslo. It was called the Cathedral Cafe, and it was a really cool combination indoor-outdoor restaurant that we took some pictures of. And it was interesting, and I brought it up just because of all of the pictures that I took and shared, that may have been one of those that got the most likes, was just this picture of this restaurant from outside.
Is outdoor dining and outdoor gathering at cafes and restaurants, is that a thing? Because, you know, now we're in Norway and in Denmark, and it's much colder there. But is that as pervasive as I'm led to believe? Because it certainly is in France and in Great Britain. It's definitely a thing.
Yes. Yes. If they can be outside, they want to be outside.
Yeah.
I think all of the meals that we had with Bridget's host families, so we were at their homes and they all had plenty of room to have a seat inside, but we ate every meal outside.
Except for one.
Interesting. You know, they must feel like, you know, the weather is going to change and you'll have to be inside. But if you can be outside, I experienced the same thing. It'd be rainy. It'd be cold. They're outside. They're undercover. Doesn't matter. They're smoking their cigarettes and they're having their beer, you know, outside. That was just how they gathered. And stateside, you're like, no, I want to be inside. They would look down upon that. There's no tables outside, but there's plenty of availability inside. You felt like, okay, well, maybe I should be outside with everybody else.
I think there's so much of the year that is dark for them that when it isn't, they want to be out in the sunlight, in the light.
Okay. What was the most impressive thing you saw in Oslo?
For me, it was the castle. That was the one place on our trip that we visited a castle. And I'm going to let Chris say the name of it because he can say it.
It's Akershus, as in the restaurant Arcachus.
Hey, Disney Italian. All right, good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There was no way I was going to go to Oslo and then not see the namesake, right?
Okay. How about you, Chris? What was the most impressive thing you saw in Oslo?
Yeah, I think that's it. It probably was that Akershus castle. But we did get to, on Thursday that week, we did get to the National Museum. And so got my picture with Edvard Munch's The Scream, which okay. ends up, you know, you're exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a small painting, you know, and it's like, I guess, any other museum that has a central piece. It's kind of, you line up and you kind of feel like you'd like to look at it for a minute. And on the other hand, you've seen it before and there's a line behind you.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, yeah, I would say that the castle was by far the neatest thing. And that castle dates back to 1299. So I joked that we have things that old in the United States too, but they're called like rocks.
Yeah, seriously. It's almost a surreal experience to walk around in cities that old when you think about the oldest building you could possibly imagine in proximity to you stateside is 900 years newer. It's you know, 800. You're just like, I can't even date that. It's how does that happen? You know, so I often pinch myself at that. Where is our last place on this journey, Chris? Where are we going to with our final destination?
Our final destination of the entire trip is really, I guess I'll say, the host families in Aarhus, and then going up to the coast at the northern tip of Denmark.
Okay.
And
So when you're with your host families, did they do anything unique, or do they just meld you into their daily life as far as just conversation and food, or was there sightseeing, or was it just stories and eating?
There was a lot of stories and eating because we had such limited time that we did some walking and looking and touristy things. But for the most part, it was the opportunity to meet these people that had been so integral to Bridget's life and that she had been integral to theirs too. And you could tell. And so it was really just so nice to, you know, have that opportunity to experience them and get to know them personally, not just through Bridget.
It was also at this point in our trip where we got to catch up with the second of our exchange daughters that came to meet us.
Okay.
So we had Leia, who came to us from France in 2005 and 2006 as a 17-year-old. And when she left that year as an 18-year-old, went back to France, we didn't see her then until this summer. So half of her lifetime ago.
She's 35 now. We saw her when she was 18.
And, wow.
Which was just, it was emotional, but even unexpectedly emotional for emotional people.
Yeah.
It even caught her off guard. She went running up to Anne and gave a big hug. And she was doing that kind of ugly cry at that point. And this is a French girl, and they're pretty, you know, reserved. And she says, I didn't think I was going to do that. But it was awesome. It was it was incredible time.
And that must have almost made the whole trip worthwhile, is that one moment in time right there.
It was yeah. Because from the time she left, she was hoping we would come visit.
Okay.
And we, at that time, we had young girls, young daughters. Mm-hmm. Bridget was 4 when she left. And now she meets Bridget as a 21-year-old. And so we'd say someday, Leia will get there. And I don't think she ever really thought we would.
She thought we'd just keep going back to Disney. Honestly, that's what she thought.
Yeah. That's, you know, it almost brings you goosebumps if you hear it, because it almost brings everything full circle. It's full circle for Leia. It's full circle for Paula. It's full circle for Bridget. It's full circle for those moms and dads and for you guys. And you're all in the same place together. It was like the closing of a loop, you know, that everyone opened together. And here it is. Here is
and that. And that included Caroline, too, who's been experiencing this kind of on the sidelines while she lives her own life and does her college and such. And now gets to go over and see what it is that her sister has been talking about all this time.
Anna and Chris, I got to be honest. This would be an emotional trip for me to take. I would feel like my emotions on any given day were from extreme joy to tears. To I would have a hard time regulating myself on this trip. Did you guys have that experience as well, too?
If anybody knows me, I'm a crier. Yeah. I cry. Say it, Chris.
We were dating and I came home and she was in tears and I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "It's a really sad episode of Happy Days."
don't make me laugh like that. You feel like a terrible guy. And I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. This is just who I am. I'm very empathetic and I everything comes out in tears.
Okay.
And so I didn't I expected to have that emotion meeting our exchange kids. But the thing that surprised me was the emotion as we were having to say goodbye to these families. Mm-hmm. Now, they were important to me, but I had just met them. It was the emotion of having to watch Bridget say mm-hmm. goodbye and watch them say goodbye to her.
Mm-hmm. Because these are their kids. They served a function of her parents, her family, not just parents, but sisters and brothers. And it was a very emotional.
We've had to say goodbye on our end to our exchange students. And when they come back, we're thankful. But we know that they're going to go home again. And at that point, you don't really know the next time you're going to see them. Mm-hmm. And so we could see that clearly with Bridget and her families there, that this was a tough one because they didn't know when they were going to see each other again.
You know, the only thing that I could buoy my emotions with would be knowing that she's absolutely capable and probably driven to go back again in her adult life, you know, when she's married or has kids or decides she wants to change careers or needs a refresher for her soul or for her emotions, she goes back, you know, so the family knows they'll see her again. It's going to be some time though. So yeah, it's amazing.
Or not. Okay. It won't be some time. It will be soon.
Yeah.
She's making plans with them to,
there you go,
to be back, to look into some kind of international business.
School, yeah. International business. She's got plans, and those plans are in Scandinavia, I would say.
Well, look at you guys. Look at what a great job you guys did as parents. I mean, that's an amazing thing you guys did. You know, self-reliance for that, but also to expand their horizons, to also the empathy you shared with her. Like, what a fantastic job. Like, I couldn't be prouder.
We'll just hope that she's running towards something and not away from something. Right.
Yeah. Of course she is. So yeah. Okay. So hang on. Get me back up to speed then. So now we're in the host cities and we're up on the coast, right? And our last stop is probably on the coast. Is that right?
Yeah. Chris? The coast city is kind of central to the country, but then we're going to go up to the coast honestly, I don't remember the name of the town,
Longstrup.
But essentially it's just a small village, right? And then this beach house isn't technically sitting directly on the beach, but there's probably 40 or 50 houses and kind of I'd call it like a roughly approximately a neighborhood. Okay. But with very, you know, with lots of beach grass and
dunes.
Not like a manicured neighborhood, yeah. American neighborhood, but yeah. You can walk maybe 200 yards or 100 yards, 150 yards, and you're at the beach, this very rough, rugged, mostly rock, although there's areas of sand beach too, but like with tumbled smooth rocks all over the beach, and it's beautiful.
I'm picturing it, the most ruggedly authentic and charming like beach, you know, property you could have in Europe. It's probably the one that you imagine when you're like, that poet or that author needed to sequester himself for 3 months
with a sunset over the on the water. Sunset on the water. Yeah.
At 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
That's the sunset, although it didn't get dark until, you know, 3 in the morning.
Okay. Last question before I take you guys back home. How'd you eat there? Did you guys pick up groceries? Did you guys eat at restaurants? Because you're nodding. I can see that. And I appreciate that because one of the best parts of traveling has been to just try to immerse yourself the best you can. And in a situation like that, when you're kind of isolated up there, you have to integrate. You've got a choice. You've got to go to the grocery store and pick up what you think looks like good eating food there and just keep your fingers crossed. That's what you did. Is that right, guys?
Yeah, we cooked. We were only there 2 evenings, so we only had 2 evening meals.
Okay.
We kind of cheated a little bit because Leia was with us. And Leia's used to European grocery stores. And so she and the girls kind of planned the 2 meals and cooked.
Oh, heck, I was giving you guys credit. And then you guys had food brought in for you guys. Okay.
Well, we went to the grocery store. We all, you know, I think maybe all but Anne, or maybe 3 of us or something, went into town into, was that also into?
Lanstrup. Yeah.
And gathered that, you know, and we also got things like the pop there. There was no Diet Coke mostly to be found, but it was plenty of Pepsi Zero. Pepsi, what do they call it there? Pepsi Max is what it's there, Pepsi Zero. And you know, some wine and some beer. And
emotionally, I'm there, Chris. Absolutely. I'm emotionally there, invested in that picture of you guys doing that. Okay. After that, you guys, it's time to say goodbye and you guys are coming home. And tell me about that. You guys flew direct from Copenhagen or how'd you took the ferry back because you had round trip tickets you sold us, right? So you went back to Oslo. Mm-hmm. And how did that occur getting you back home?
Yeah, we were actually on a ferry. I guess technically we were on a ferry
four times.
It was the overnight ferries, but then to get from Aarhus to, or from Copenhagen to Aarhus, where the families were, we had just a
car ferry.
It was a short ferry. Mm-hmm. We went back through Aarhus to the host family that had shared their beach house with us and, you know, delivered some things to them. And then headed on to Copenhagen for to spend the night on Thursday night before we came back on Friday the 14th.
Okay. What was the biggest hiccup of the trip, guys? What was something that occurred that you had no idea was going to occur and it might have set you back? What was
that? Well, I'll give Anne an opportunity and I've got one too.
Okay.
You want me to go first, Anne, so you can think?
Yeah.
Our biggest hiccup was following Google Maps about a mile into a farmer's field. We were certain that this was a road. Is this a road? Is this just, it looks like just like the path that a farmer would take with their tractor, but you know, it shows it as a road. So let's just keep going. And we went and went and went and everybody was cracking up and also becoming fearful because it had been raining there. So we're in muck in this rental vehicle. And eventually we get to the point that we're like, we can't get any further. I mean, it's just like, I've always heard the stories about the person that, you know, turned right because Google Maps said turned right. But they ended up like in the middle of a lake or something. And it's like, how can these people possibly do this? How can they be so stupid that they would just blindly follow Google Maps when clearly they shouldn't be doing that? I was that guy.
Yeah. Okay.
But we made it out.
You made it out clearly. Okay. Very good. And what about your experience?
We didn't have this trip planned in such detail like we do when we go to Disney. And because of that, I don't think anything really threw us for a huge loop. We had a little issue with the rental car. We needed a car big enough to hold five people because the five of us were going to be driving to the beach house. And that was the only way. There's no public transit to get to the beach house. So we needed a vehicle. And Europe doesn't have a lot of large vehicles for five people and all of their luggage. So when we went to get the scheduled car, it wasn't there. One of the fun pieces to come out of that was that Bridget would always lead with her Danish when we were speaking to anybody in Denmark. They all speak very good English, and we just wanted to show them the respect of that she could speak their language. And so she was working with the gentleman at the rental car place, and almost everyone who she would speak to then would end up very confused as she turned to us and then spoke English. Are you Danish? You're not Danish? And she would say, no, I'm American. And to a T, they were all amazed. And your pronunciation is so good. I'm amazed.
Wow.
I thought you were Danish. So that was kind of fun to see. And I think we got the car eventually, and it wasn't a huge bump at all, but it was fun to see her use that skill so seamlessly.
Yeah, exactly. She is completely immersed herself in that culture. When you say she's going to go back into some kind of Scandinavian type, yeah, I could see that already, even just hearing from you guys.
Yeah.
Okay. What was the best part? Crystallize it down to one moment. What was the part of the vacation that you take with you and you think about before you go to bed at night? What is that one moment, Chris?
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, I'll put you on the spot.
Yeah,
right there.
You know, here's the problem. I honest, and this is God's honest truth. I don't have favorites. I don't have a favorite movie. I love a lot of movies. I don't have a favorite song. I am a musician. I don't have favorite band, and so I'm having a hard time. I always have a hard time picking favorites because I see so many shades. You know, I see things not as black and white, but shades of gray.
Okay,
and I think it wasn't, for me, it wasn't a moment. It was a feeling. It was just this sense that we've heard and we've seen, and we've experienced throughout our lives, this other side of the world. And we haven't been travelers. But we were there, and it was comfortable, and it was attainable. Like, it's all the way over there, but Chris and Ann, you can go there and do this, and you've done it once, and if you've done it once, you could do it again. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I think it's that's what I take away from it, is that you kind of jokingly call us, you know, like adventurers. We're definitely not adventurers, but it's that sense that if we want to do this again, we could do this again. We could do it, you know, and we would have different ways that we would go about it next time. And we have already identified some of those and such, but it's that sense of maybe, I don't know if it's accomplishment or just, we can do it. We can do it. So that's probably what I took away.
Okay. And what about you? Do you have a moment that you would crystallize in your mind from the trip?
Other than the people, which that seems very odd because you go to Europe to see the old places and the sites and, but for me, it was the people.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not the people, then I will say, because I'm my major's in the sciences, at the very northern tip of Denmark, there's a phenomenon that I don't know if it happens anywhere else in the world. It may, but there are two oceans that meet at that tip.
Seas, but yeah.
Seas. And you can go out to that tip on this beach in the water, and the waves of those two seas are coming at you from both sides and meeting in the middle. So Chris has a video in the with our pictures that he took and shared with the group, and the waves are just coming from both sides and hitting each other and then going away, and you just don't see that. And so like the science geek in me really liked being at that point.
Yeah, there's something poetic and beautiful about that. Absolutely. That would be something that I would clearly remember in my mind as well, too. That's really pretty cool. Is there anything that I haven't asked that you wanted to make sure we touch base on? Because I know there was a lot of information. What haven't we talked about that you'd like to share?
No, I really think we've talked everybody's ear off, probably. Anne has something else. I know I want to invite people to follow us along, but go ahead, Anne.
I think the one thing that we would do differently that I think is maybe surprising to me, at least, is that I want to go back and I want to go small. I don't want to go to the Copenhagens and to the Oslos. I want to go to the small towns, the villages. I want to have to go to the grocery store to make my meals, or I want to stay with a family that we've met in some fashion and live in their shoes and in their lives and study more about the people and less about the architecture.
It's a nice opposite to our usual Disney vacations, right? It's the small authenticity as opposed to the large overstated, you know, that we usually take from Disney.
What we noticed is that every city, US, Europe, whatever, there's a lot of similarities once you get into the city. People live a city life. Mm-hmm. In New York or Kansas City or St. Louis around us, there's bound to be like a Starbucks on every corner, right? Over there, we noticed it was 7-Eleven, but it was still, that was typical of the cities. But I think we'll see a different view vantage point if we go back and we're in the smaller communities.
Okay. Chris, how could people join, follow? Where do they go? What do they do?
Well, so this is one of those things. I live a pretty public life on Facebook. And because there's so many, because I'm fairly open in my area, I always hate to announce to just my general mm-hmm. Facebook friends even that I'm leaving town for 2 weeks, you know, my house will be empty.
Yeah.
But in a group like this, where I know we've got, you know, friends from around the country, feel a little more able to open up and offer have, and hopefully people will want to follow, or if they want to follow along can. So you can go to facebook.com/groups/Chris and Ann, and it's CHRISAND and then Ann, ANN. There's no E at the end of Ann. So Chris and Ann, facebook.com/groups/Chris and Ann. And if you join us, you'll be able to see really all of the, well, the highlight pictures of this trip. But our next trip is in October, and we're going to go see someone who's integral to this podcast community, and that's Jeremy Murray up in St. Albans, Vermont. And so we're going to take a train trip from New York City up through the foliage, the fall foliage, heading into Vermont. And that's supposed to be a great trip, a great, you know, scenic trip, and then mm-hmm. spend some time there and then come back through and then take another train down to New Orleans.
Like, we're not all jealous to hear about this as well, too.
And if you want to follow, or if you want to friend me on Facebook, really that's where I spend time because I'm over, you know, 30 or whatever. So I'm still on Facebook. It's facebook.com/DVC. It's DV Chris, actually, DVCHRIS. And okay. So there.
Okay. And, you know, feel free if you have any questions or you aren't able to find Chris because Chris Young is a relatively common name, send me a message. I can make sure I get you guys in contact. So anyways, for listening today, we hoped we piqued your interest in traveling abroad. certainly in Denmark, in Copenhagen, in Oslo, in Norway, in the small towns. We certainly hope we piqued your interest. We certainly appreciate you guys sharing your trip. It was emotional for me to hear on many different levels because I love Europe, because my daughter is just entering that stage of life. But I loved hearing it. I loved hearing the family story, your story. So thank you. Okay, so for my friends Anne and Chris, we'd like to thank you, and we want to wish you a great day.
Have a good evening, everybody.